Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
הריני מקבל על עצמי את מצוות עשה של ואהבת לרעך כמוך. I hereby accept on myself the utterance, the due commandment of love your friend, partner, neighbor, in the same way that you express love to yourself. Thank you for these words. Thank you, God, for my soul that has the capacity to work on itself. Thank you, God, for the power to forget, the power to let go, the power to integrate the tough choices, the misinformed stories, and to open my eyes again, to remember. Thank you for the power to remember. To remember that what was, was, and what is, was. The truth about myself and all that I am, all that you are, or some of what you are. To remember that all that I experience, all that I feel, every thought that comes is the gift that I received from you, but not who I am. Through the choices that push me to the limits of my current state, through the veils that cover my being with an elastic film, I can see. I can see the characters of my life playing, doing their act in the most comfortable way that they know. And me, I'm observing. I'm observing the silence. I'm observing the noise. I'm waiting. I'm running, waiting to wake up, to remember that I'm sleeping while I'm sleeping. I'm familiar with that internal place of sleeping without dreaming, sleeping without knowing, that the illusion that convinces me that there is no better place, but there is. And one day it will happen. You will open your eyes and see that you're still asleep, and the struggle between the warm, cozy feeling, the pain that became so immense and comforting, is threatening to leave you. And the fear comes along with these voices. Don't leave. It could be worse outside. You don't know what it is, what's out there. I feel tempted to remain in that train of thought, in that belief, in that dreaming state where everything is happening and nothing is real. The exhilaration after the jump is just the beginning of the rest of the trip. And I'm going actually nowhere, because it is here. It is now. This is home.
Lishon bli lachlom. Lishon bli ladat. לשקר בלי לחשוב, לאהוב בלי לגעת.
Oh, come to the place in Tel Aviv because I want to work here. Takal na Mercasid ay napakarumi nito at hindi ko gusto ang paninirahan dito.
The weather here is very hot, but it's almost the same in the Philippines. But there in the Philippines, we don't have winter. We have only geshem and kites.
לישון בלי לחלום. This was Dana Berger and it was a song by Ofer Meiri, To Sleep Without Dreaming. Hello, shalom, welcome, happy, glorious and joyous Sunday. This is the Abracadabra show, Create What You Speak. I'm Ilan Azulay, I'm your host. I'm a spiritual mentor, a guide and a sound healer for you who are ready to reclaim your power. And I started with at the beginning of what I was sharing with you, the main prayer of to express love to others, just like you express to yourself. And this song that we just heard, actually I received given the permission to use the song several years ago when I started a documentary and talk about it when the time is right. And the song really talks about those who are in the red light district of Tel Aviv in the southern part, and really what they're experiencing is the sleeping without dreaming, because at that place they don't have what to dream for. That is their life. That is their experience and what they're going through. And somebody told me that once you get to that station, that is the last stop. It is the old bus depot in Tel Aviv. I grew up in that area for much of my younger years. And the people there are like, they're like see-through for many years. I remember myself not even noticing those who are there. It's just like a flower painting on a wall that after a while it's just a part of the nature of that room. And the place that they are is the lowest of the lowest, not necessarily because of the geographical place, but because of their internal place. So there are the circumstances or what we go through, the experiences and the choices that we make that cultivate the place that we are at. And in any situation, we are bringing ourselves to a place where we have a choice to go somewhere other than where we are. It is hard to say, it is hard to talk on their behalf, and I'm not attempting to. But me personally and others personally that I know had all the ingredients to be right there. And I didn't. and we didn't. So is that a miracle? Is that being at a different place and a different time? Or this already was, or the choices were already ingrained in the creation or in our path? I want to, I have a wonderful guest here today, and I'll introduce her in a second, and she is waiting patiently. I can see, although I cannot see, but I can see her. This is what I want to bring ourselves today here. And what do we do here? Every Sunday we come here to explore, to discover. First, I'll let you discover the phone number here before I forget. It is 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. Anything and everything is welcome as we speak and as we travel. And so I want to follow up on what I started last week and this Friday's talk. And we started last week with the chaos and the feeling of contrast that comes from that chaos to a place of a clean slate, to a place of the potential, to the raw material. And this is where we come here every Sunday to discover different ways to map our experience, to discover different ways and others other than the stories that we're familiar with. Now, I know stories is a word that has been used so many times, but it is really it. You know, sometimes a cliche is a cliche. It doesn't mean it is not true, right? And so discovering different ways, especially if you are in a place of need, in a place of distress, in a place of losing the focus, losing the northern star, if you will, your compass. What is nourishing you is what is going to help shape you up again from the place that you're in, because you are in that raw place, like Play-Doh. Yeah, the potential. And this last week's parasha, Torah portion, really is the big picture. It is focusing on your potential, on what is coming out of that chaotic place. You come to a chaotic place, doesn't matter who's right, it's not about that. That really, ultimately, you discover after you go through the chaos and through the journey that it really doesn't matter who did what, why, where, and when. But what matters is how you, how me, how us come together. When you hear somebody says, oh, look at how that person carries themselves, it is right there. It is how they carry, how you carry yourself. And so I want to introduce Julie Bergman. Julie Bergman, she's a unique mix of experiences as a Hollywood studio executive, producer of feature film, independent documentaries, Academy Award nominee, a writer, and creating innovative content, social viral campaign online. I mean, this is like, I can go on and on. Hi, Julie.
Hello, Ilan.
Now, hi, Julie.
Hello, Ila.
How are you? Good to have you.
Good to be here.
So Julie was once on the program, and what I didn't mention last time, I'm going to mention now that Julie is also the daughter of award-winning songwriters, Alan and Marilyn Bergman. And for many years, I've been listening to these songs growing up, and I don't know. They've written notable songs like What Are You Doing for the Rest of Your Life?, The Windmills of Your Mind, The Way We Were. I mean, all these classics of things that I grew up on. And
so did I.
Yeah. Of course. So did you. So tell me, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. What is your story today?
My story. Well, there's something interesting. You just were talking about the things we carry.
Yes.
There's actually a great book by an author named Tim O'Brien called The Things We Carry. And the question I ask myself a lot is, am I carrying things that I still need to carry?
Mm-hmm.
What happens if I put them down? Because then maybe you're out of balance for a period of time because you're used to carrying those things and now all of a sudden you've put them down. And if you put them down, are there things that you want to pick up and add to the mix of the things that you carry? Mm-hmm. Think about that a lot.
And did you come to a conclusion?
No, you never come to a conclusion. Questions beget more questions.
Yeah, and sometimes it's the question that kills us, right?
Exactly. But it's also the question that keeps us open, right?
Well, yeah, the question that keeps us open to... Yeah, but we ask ourselves a question, but we also have to have checks and balances. Checks and balances with ourselves. Sometimes we don't have that sounding board of somebody to discover or to explore different things. So what do you do? And this is something that I've mentioned last week, and I find it a very useful tool to use when we are in we're in a place of chaos. Because chaos, let's say in music or cacophonia, mm-hmm. really is just a mixture of sounds that they don't appear to make sense to our listening because it's dissonance or whatnot, but there is also no connections many times between themselves. So there is no a pattern, like a harmony pattern mm-hmm. or a certain chord progression or something. It's just something that creates just a bunch of sound. So it's a chaotic state. And so from we come out of, or we are in the midst of the chaotic state, this is the breaking. In the Kabbalah, there is the contraction, mm-hmm. the way that we contract towards where we're going through, and then there is the break that happens that appears everything to be chaotic. Everything appears to be out of whack, out of balance. We lose our sense of direction. We lose our sense of belonging. We don't find, especially if we're going through a breakup, mm-hmm. we have a sense of belonging, sense of why, who did this, why did that. And like you said, after the, you know, it's like when you go in the ocean, right? You walk into the ocean, the water is clear, but once you stomp your feet, all the sand comes up, right? Yep. Yeah. And so when the sand comes up, it's a little bit hard to see. So what do we take from that? So we're looking for that shell in the bottom of the ocean, and we make all this mess, right? And then we see the shell. So,
but I think that's the key. You know, the more comfortable you can become in the mess,
yeah.
and accept that the mess is there always anyway, and that it's not, the mess itself is not the problem or the challenge. The challenge and the issue really is, okay, there's the mess. How am I gonna decipher the mess and accept it, but find like you said, you know, find the North Star in mm-hmm. the middle of the mess. And hopefully you do that over and over and over again in your life, because if you don't accept the change, then you don't grow.
Yeah, that's right. And accepting the change. That's interesting. So the change is a put together, is something that is put together from our experiences, right? Something that happened, and our what we think about what is happening. So many times we're afraid to let go of what is familiar, and it is as comfortable as it can, as painful as it may be. It's very comforting.
Mm-hmm.
It's very comforting. I remember when I was in Israel in the last two, 3 weeks, and I remember being in the presence of certain people, brought me to the same feelings that I had when I was a child.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah, of course.
Brought me to certain feelings. And I remember I was been observing it. Now, I wasn't it wasn't a complete verite.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a participatory observation. I was participating in the observation. And it's funny. It's like I don't know, when the best example is like when I wash the floor, put the chairs up on the table, and I can see that the chair is going to fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I wait there, and I'm looking at the chair slipping and falling instead of just running and getting it, right? And it falls. It's almost like that. It was like a feeling of observing the same patterns, experiencing the contrast between where I am today and what I'm experiencing in that moment. And I could see that... that I responded as the actor in that emotion, you know, and that was like a big reminder, because we constantly need a reminder, like a checks and balance, that you're asleep. You know, it's like almost like it's like a spring that is wind. You wind it, mm-hmm. and it goes back to its...
I mean, I don't know if this is too esoteric an idea, but I know that you visited family when you were there, so that's always a trigger for all kinds of things.
Yes, yeah.
And my parents are still very much alive, thankfully.
Thank you.
And they live close by, and I go see them often. And they live in the same house that I lived in since I was 9, which was, you know, a few years ago. And I see corners of the house, and I see pictures on the wall, and I see places in the carpet that I remember from then. And I think about them as touchstones for where I am now a lot when I'm there, you know, because it's interesting to be able to go back again and again to the same places where you had all kinds of experiences, difficult mm-hmm. ones, happy mm-hmm, ones, mm-hmm. and where you're faced daily or weekly with reviewing those experiences with grown-up eyes. It's interesting, I find.
So do you find yourself in each time going to a different memory or feeling or?
Well, it depends. I mean, obviously, it depends what I walk in with, what I'm carrying that day. Right,
mm-hmm.
and then what part of the house catches my eye at that time? So it's the convergence of those two things. So it's different every time. It just depends upon where I am at the moment I walk in and what I see and what it reminds me of from the past. And I find that mostly the experience is reconciling and forgiving things.
Forgiving what? Yes. So where does it put you today with dealing with older parents that are going through the shifts and the changes, and if there is something that is unresolved, how do you resolve it? Because there are sometimes things that we look at things. I know that we look at things and we say, well, is there a point really to bring it up? Is it a point really to, you know, I'm moving past that. I see where they are. I see how they are. I see where they come from. I understand their rationale at that time. So how do you find that? Do you find that it is absolutely adamant? You have to confront that, or are there things that you're saying, you know?
No, I really feel that my role now in their lives is to be of service and comfort. And that the things that are, like anybody has, the haunting from childhood or experiences that were difficult that maybe we talked about at certain points in time and maybe we didn't, is this isn't the time anymore, for, in my opinion. I mean, for me, you know, there are other ways that I can unravel those feelings, mm-hmm. that don't require confronting them. And I wouldn't say that my relationship with them is static exactly, but it's not evolving outward the way other relationships in my life are, where I would feel more compelled to talk about something difficult.
Why? Is it because the parents are in a certain paradigm, maybe the old paradigm, that may not be open to cross a certain raft versus the people that you know in your life that are daily, that are shifting with you?
I think it may be that. I think it also may be that I think their plate is pretty full with what they're dealing with right now in their lives, and that the shift into grappling with aging and the difficulties that presents while still being vital, which thankfully my father in particular is, that I live very much with him in now, because that's what feels right to me, and I know that it makes him feel good to be living right now and not thinking about the past and not thinking too much either about the future. Astonishingly, at 93, he's capable of living in the now.
Yeah. Well, yes, I saw him performing, and let me tell you, he enjoys every moment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I joke a lot that he would perform at the opening of a refrigerator.
Well, I mean, you know, and then he gets hungry and he can
Sorry,
eat.
Dad.
And then he can, yeah, and then he can. So in a way, dealing with these familial experiences, parental experiences, those that we've somehow snuck in and quote-unquote confronted, and those that we haven't, it brings us to a potential. Because, you know, the chaos doesn't happen to have all in your life at the same time, because many times we'll really crash, and we receive the tools to handle the exact things that we have to go through and what we're going through. And so it brings us to a place of potential where we have the potential to create what we speak. So it is, I know, in the context of the program, it's a cliche, but create what you speak. But this is really it, and that is where the sound comes into, and what we speak, and the vibrational qualities of each letter, especially in the Hebrew language, because of, I think we talked about this last time. That Hebrew is more a language of an essence that describes the essence of that which we're talking about, or how we're talking about that. Mm-hmm. For example,
it's more three-dimensional than English, that's for sure.
Well, I look at it as more of as a five-dimensional.
Of course you do.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not objecting to that, right? So it brings us to a new potential. And that is a question that Rabbi Akiva was asked. Which is more perfect, or completely perfect, or perfectly complete, creation of God or creation of man, or the making of God, the action of God, or the action of man. And you know, we always say, you know, what everything that is created is perfect because God created it, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes,
right. Is that's the.
But what's the definition of perfect? That's the question.
Okay,
that's one question.
That is wonderful. And when?
Exactly.
When, for example, when is it perfect? So is it created? So when you are in the potential, when you went through all, when we go through all this chaos, the chaotic stage, and we start seeing that bright star that is rising from down mm-hmm, there, mm-hmm. right? So that is the potential, right? What we make, we can't just eat wheat, right. Take the crunch and nothing will happen. We have to process it. We have to
turn it into something that we can digest.
That we can digest, right? Sheep, right? Wool, sweater. Hey, little sheep, let me shave you and wear you. Yeah, no, exactly. We have to process the whole thing. So there is here, we got the Chomer Gelem, comes from the word, from Golem, like raw material, raw in the hand of the maker. Mm-hmm. So it is coming raw, it has the potential, right? It has the potential, and we perfect it. Who is we? We are getting that to make it. There is in the prayer of Shabbat every Friday night when we do the Kiddush, there is Yom HaShishi, Vayichulo HaShamayim, and then at the end there is Asher Bara Elohim La'asot, that which God created to make.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it was created something out of nothing into a world that we can make something out of something. It's like science. We take something with two existing things, and it creates something. So the potential is.
See, I would argue that the potential itself is what's perfect, because all the elements are there to create everything and anything. It's our
modification.
Yes, and also it's our challenge to create, even if it's not perfect, because if we wait for perfection all the time, we wouldn't achieve anything.
Yeah, but you see, but you are right in the first part. Well, I mean, what you mentioned, that the potential is perfect.
Yeah,
and then there is perfection of modification, or perfection in modification. So it is there. It is not to challenge that is not perfect. I mean, we look at, okay, let's talk miracles, right? We look at something, we say nature. When is a miracle? I mean, we have a miracle every single moment, right?
Yes.
We get up, we breathe, we see the sun, the trees. I mean, but we don't call this miracle anymore. We call it nature. Why? Because it repeats itself.
And also, we don't think about it all the time either.
Like the flower on the wall that we paint, yeah. and we're just ignoring it.
To open one's eyes every morning and be thankful that happened, that would be a great exercise. I never thought of that, but what a great thing to do.
This is to get up with gratitude every morning.
Before you do anything else.
Exactly. And so in the morning prayer when we wake up, we say the prayer, thank you for bringing everything back to me, bringing everything in here. And we're saying that, thank you for all the miracles that are in every of my day,
mm-hmm.
every of my days, because these are miracles, but we're treating it really like a nature, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the actual fact that it is nature, that we call it in nature, that is the hidden of when we talk God is in everywhere, every place, everywhere. Because the nature, the word in Hebrew teva comes from the word hatba'a, meaning to imprint. Okay, teva. So the divinity, divine, is imprinted in nature. The word hateva, the nature, and the word Elohim, God, the gematria is 86. Both of them, mm-hmm. they're the same. It's to say that God is imprinted, that word, that name, Elohim, of God, is imprinted in nature. Everything is the potential. Everything is here for us, right? Mm. And then there is above nature, which goes with this four, with the four letters of Yud and K, Vav, K. But the potential, that is... So when we're talking about parents...
Yeah.
So we have the potential to be sucked into, you know, when parents get old and some parents don't recognize their kids and some parents are just angry with their kids and some parents are just not being.
Or they finally, in my case, I find that there's a sense of being willing to accept the shift in the relationship that happens where you as a child become more the caretaker.
Yeah.
And you experience a whole other dynamic in the relationship because as children, we aren't expected, nor should we be, to take care of our parents, right? That's just not the dynamic. It would be nice, but it's just not.
But what if you do? So if you do, how do you look at that? Do you see it as, oh, that shouldn't have happened, but it is happening, so.
No, I like it. I really like it.
So what is the opportunity that is coming for us, coming for...
I really like the opportunity of it. And I've developed a whole other side of my relationship with my dad, actually, in the last 3 years, as my mother's been going through some challenges, and they both really needed my help, but also my father's been willing to talk things through with me in a way that he didn't when I was younger, and trusts my judgment on certain things that just was never called. I was never called upon before to do that. And being able to do it is really, it's an honor, actually. Mm.
How do you hold yourself up after each experience? Do you create a thought of separation before you go there? Or do you just...
That's a really good question. Well, I haven't needed to create that with my father yet. But with my mother, I've had to create a sense of accepting wherever she is that day and meeting her where she is. Mm. And that's where it's kind of like parenting, because my experience of being a parent was that when I was in my best parenting self, I would meet my child where she was that day. Mm. I wouldn't have expectations I was putting on her. I wasn't having projections I was putting on her. Mm. I wasn't demanding something of her that was about me, not about her. And I find that my relationship with my mother is very much like that now.
Mm. And of course, without love and the acceptance of who they finally are, nothing is going to work in that way. It's always going to be being in that energy, in that cycle, and it takes a lot of, I commend you. It takes a lot of work, self-work and discovery and acceptance and integration of all the experiences that brought you here. So it's the integration, not necessarily forgetting or the letting go. I see is the letting go of our, of course, relation to it. So it is really the integration. So that is love. This is like, I think maybe the second place where I can say the first in human experience, when we talk about unconditional love, I feel that the only place it could be is between a mother to a child. I'm purposefully saying a mother to a child, not a father to a child, but that's a whole different program. But this is like the return. So now it is, we've experienced unconditional love, whether it was healthy or not. We all have dents in our in our car. And whether it is whether it is healthy or not, but we are experiencing, we're going through the experience of giving unintentional love. Because what we're doing, we are caring for something that happened.
Mm-hmm. And I find, for me, I find that I've become a much stronger person for having been able to give them this unconditional love.
That's wonderful. This is beautiful. The creation is full of love. Everything that we experience comes with love. This is Ishai Ribo. His inside is filled with love.
חוסך שבטו מבלי לחסוך את אהבתו, משיט את שרביטו לכל עם, פושט ידו, אי לא מעלים מעל צאן מרעיתו. גם כשאנו שברי כלים עודנו כלי חמדתו, תוכו רצוף אהבה, רצוף אהבה, ביתו צפוף לרווחה, צפוף לרווחה, ממציא לנו מחילה, לא רק בשעת הנעילה, לך דומיה תהילה. רב לו ואין ראשית לראשיתו, גם השירה ככל הים היא רק מקצת שבחו. לפנים משורת הדין מנהיג את עולמו, ומלפני המלאכים דורש בשלום המון, תוכו רצוף עבר, רצוף אהבה, ביתו צפוף לרווחה, צפוף לרווחה, ממציא לנו מחילה, לא רק בשעת הנעילה, לך דומיה תהילה. עתידו לתת פר תחת אפר, שמן ססון תחת אבל, מתת אילה תחת רוח כאה. רצוף אהבה ממציא לנו מחילה, לא רק בשעת הנעילה, לך דומיה
Shai Ribo is filled with love. So we are, before we are ending in a few minutes, here is something that, that I've been doing all my life, and apparently it was said also by the rabbis and the Mishnah, but now it comes to the scientists, as in the last 100 years are catching up with Kabbalah and everything. Here is... Ethan Cross, he's a psychologist at the University of Michigan. He did the research, and he doesn't believe that people who speak in third person to themselves are necessarily narcissistic or delusional. And here is the thing. he studies that, and I'm just giving his short finding here. He studies that self-talk, the introspective conversation we have with ourselves about ourselves, is actually helping us to relieve stress. So here's the thing. When we are talking to ourselves in ourselves, it's like asking, how do you talk to yourself versus how do you talk to others? Right? If I, right? Many times we talk to others way nicer than we talk to ourselves.
Yes, right? We do.
Right?
Yes, we do.
Oh, there you go. There you are. Why? Right? So it is the, like, the separation between us and what has happened. Right? So when we're talking to others, that is not us. It's almost like an acceptance that we can be mean to us and we can put ourselves down and say, oh, what an idiot. Why did I do this or that? So I'm saying, and this is what I remember as a child, I've been doing this. I've always would talk, not just as a third person, because I'm all my 13th of us, talk to ourselves in a way that is sometimes respectful and sometimes not, and sometimes, but we do our best to be our best. But talking as a third person removes you from what your association to this thing is. So if you're going through a divorce, or you're going through a separation, you're going through something that is happening, talking to yourself actually is a tool to not just alleviate the pain and help you go through stress, but also gives you the access to the tool to start mapping your experience. Because then you can start seeing, oh, Ilan, why did you... You're removing your emotional attachment to that place. When I work with women that are going through divorce here in LA, especially here in LA, and the tactics that are being used by different attorneys and so forth, it's very easy to go through a chaotic meltdown. And this is one tool that I use and encourage, not from an egoic standpoint, but from a place of a tool.
But I think that's the first step in a way, which is to either find people in your life or a therapist or a healer who can help you cultivate those tools, because if you've only been in the habit of talking to yourself in one way,
yeah, that's true. There has to be continuation.
You have to learn how to talk to yourself in a more compassionate way.
Well, in a constructive way. If you talk in a third person, is the beginning of sanity, if you will.
Sounds good to me.
It was in the movie in The Peaceful Warrior, in the book, right? Where he says that people all the time telling me his Ari is mine, and says, yeah, it takes a lifetime. Thank you.
Yeah. Getting out of our mind is... Julie needs to get out of her mind more.
Julie, get out of her mind. Julie, go over there for a second. No, so this is something I would encourage you to experience, to try. Take something that is happening in your life right now, something that is occupying your space, something that is taking away from your sleep, whether it is work, whether it is a person that is at work that you have to deal with. And talk yourself in a third person, seriously or jokingly, depends how you take it. And find a way to be comfortable first. To first be comfortable in relating that way, in relating in that fashion. Then there are tools, and then there are ways to access all these beautiful, magnificent, raw potential material that is here. That is now. Julie, I feel we could talk forever.
We could, actually.
Until we're blue in the face, and we don't get blue in the face.
No.
So, Well, this was a lovely, wonderful having you here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Julie. Do you have a website?
I do have a website.
Which
balconyfilms.com.
Balconyfilms.com.
Yes.
So that's where you can reach Julie. Thank you for being here. And thank you. Thank you for taking, not just taking the time, but being courageous in being and listening and participating and in talking to yourself. You are wonderful as you are. You are the raw material. Come on. Go back home. Come back home. Facebook.com/BodySoulSound and BodySoulSound.com. This is To Come Back Home, Ishai Ribo. Have a, and make it a wonderful week.
הגיע הזמן להתעורר, לעזוב הכל, להתגבר, לשוב הביתה, לא לחפש מקום אחר. הגיע הזמן להשתנות, גם אם פספסנו תחנות, אפשר לרדת, יש רכבת חזרה לשכונות. הכל אפשר רק אם נרצה, המחפש תמיד מוצא, גם אם הוא נמצא שם הרחק בקצה. דלתות שמיים לא ננעלו כשהבן קורא אצילו, אבא שבשמיים מגיע אפילו. אפילו שעשינו משהו רע, הוא מוכל וסולח, מוכל וסולח.
Irreverent, entertaining.